The first reading is taken from the Old Testament of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest their corn or when they divide captured wealth. For you have broken the yoke that burdened them and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian long ago. The boots of the invading army and all their blood-stained clothing will be destroyed by fire. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice. From now until the end of time, the Lord Almighty is determined to do all this. End of the first lesson.
Good morning and welcome to 2022. This morning's service will be in three parts, broken up by two carols which we'll sing as the sermon proceeds. The first part of our sermon is based on our reading which we made in Isaiah. Our reading in Isaiah is a joyful and hopeful one. But it was a prophecy brought by Isaiah at a dark time in Israel's history. A wicked king, Ahaz, was on the throne, a king who, among his many sins, worshipped the idols of the lands around, sacrificed his children in the fire, and nailed up the doors of the temple. As a consequence of his wickedness, Ahaz was being besieged by the kings of two neighbouring countries, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel or Samaria. Not surprisingly, the king and the people of Judah were terrified, but Isaiah brings a message of hope and encouragement, urging Ahaz not to be afraid of Rezin and Pekah and their threats, as both their power and indeed their countries will soon be no more. The Lord then brings a sign to Ahaz, telling him that a virgin will be with child and will bring forth a son and call him Emmanuel. Before the child grows up, these kings and their kingdoms will be gone. This prophecy had its ultimate fulfilment in the birth of Christ. Despite Isaiah's words of encouragement from God, dread covered the land, and even Isaiah was warned by God that he too must not be overcome by fear. In their fear, the people of Judah turned not to God, but to mediums and consulted with spirits of the dead, in an attempt to obtain guidance for the future. Similarly, when fear bites hard, we too are apt to do strange and sometimes wrong things. When things get tough, who do we consult? Do we spend time looking for answers in the news or through social media? Do we perhaps turn to horoscopes, stars, traditions, or even experts or gurus? I'm struck by our news reporting, which veers quickly from news to supposition, seeking guidance from experts. Do we fill our time with trying to understand the latest opinions and speculation? Or do we spend time asking God about it and praying for him to intervene? Although things were bad, Isaiah summarizes how much worse they will become when Assyria comes to power. Isaiah tells us that the people will wander through the land discouraged and hungry. They will curse their king and their God in anger, whether they look up at the sky or stare at the ground. They will see nothing but trouble and darkness. There will be no way for them to escape from this trouble and warfare. This is a terrifying picture of a society without God and without hope. This is why Isaiah's announcement in our reading, that there will be an end to the darkness, is such good news. Why is this? First of all, instead of fighting and warfare, there will be peace. The battle-scarred boots and garments will be burnt. Instead of gloom and darkness, there will be joy and rejoicing. The rod of the oppressive foreign rulers will be broken, and a ruler like David of old will come to the throne. The ruler to come will govern with justice, and at last there will be a ruler who will treat the poor and needy, the stranger and alien, as God intended. The names given to this ruler express his greatness. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Even to Isaiah's hearers, it would have been apparent this ruler and his reign would be greater than anything ever seen before. Isaiah tells us that the increase of his government and of peace will never end. It seems to me that our world today is not a million miles away from the situation faced by the people of Isaiah's day, without God and without hope. There's a lot of things that we could be frightened about. Logically speaking, there's great doubt as to whether we will be able to solve the climate crisis. And we face a rampant virus which threatens to overwhelm the world. The Russian leader Putin, a modern-day peeker, has his troops poised on the borders of Ukraine. And the Chinese leader Xi, a modern-day Rezin, threatens to cross the Strait of Taiwan and invade. How then should we react? Brothers and sisters, we need to remember the light has dawned. The increase in Christ's government will never end. God's kingdom is growing fast across the world. For example, in Iran, the church has grown from 500 believers in 1979 to hundreds of thousands of believers today who are reaching out into neighbouring countries, particularly Afghanistan. God has seated his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the throne of David. Psalm 2 tells us that God laughs worldly leaders to derision. We would be hard pushed to remember Pekka and Rezin today. Soon Xi and Putin will be no more. May we resolve to spend less time in 2022 on human opinions and speculation, but instead let us focus on God, taking time to worship him, and in prayer, ask him what we should be doing to make a difference. We'll now sing our first carol, O Holy Night.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices. Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night divine. His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease.
The second lesson today is taken from the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Visitors from the East. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah. From you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.'" So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. Here ends the second lesson.
I love the story of the visit of the wise men, but I'm going to call them magi, which is the original word, to the baby Jesus, because it's full of mystery. What we know about the magi is dwarfed by what we don't know. We don't know where they came from or how many of them there were. Usually, we assume they were all men. Matthew's use of the word magi has a magical whiff to it. But rather than focusing on what we don't know, let's look at what the Magi did. In an unknown land, somewhere in the East, these Magi, who were Gentiles, had seen a new star that called them to action. This star spoke to them of a birth of a new king, just as the angels had told the shepherds, and the words of Isaiah had foreseen a light shining in the darkness. The Magi's response was to come and adore him and bring gifts, both precious and deeply symbolic: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These three gifts echo the worship in the Old Testament tabernacle and subsequent temple. Gold represents a God who is precious, pure, and holy. Gold is a gift fit for a king, a ruler. The question for us is, are we serving and honouring God with our gold, our very best? Frankincense, the second gift which the Magi brought, was used on the altar of incense and in the Holy of Holies to express worship and devotion to God. If gold is a gift fit for a king, frankincense is for a deity and indicates that the Magi saw Jesus as more than just an earthly king, but also worthy of worship. Frankincense was made to a special and holy recipe. It had an overpowering aroma. In the temple, it was reserved for the use of worshipping God alone. People weren't allowed to make it as an everyday perfume. Frankincense is a symbol of our prayers rising up like incense to God in heaven. As we come to the Christ child, let us come with worship and adoration, with the frankincense that he is worthy of. Myrrh, the third gift, had two uses in temple worship. Firstly, it was an ingredient for holy anointing oil that was used to dedicate the priests, people, and also objects for divine worship and service. Myrrh prefigures, in the Old Testament, prefigures the activity of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on those set aside for specific tasks. This gift speaks of Jesus' holy life and of his filling too with the Holy Spirit. We also, and maybe more usually, associate myrrh with being used to prepare people for burial. And of course, the two uses of myrrh came together when Jesus was anointed by Mary at Bethany just before his death on the cross. He was anointed by myrrh for his task of death on the cross, but also for his burial. So myrrh cleansed holy lives. Are our lives like that? The interesting thing was that all three of those gifts were integral to temple worship, and they point to Jesus being the one who succeeded the temple. The temple cloth, when Jesus died on the cross, the cloth of the temple, the curtain was torn from top to bottom. The temple had no more use because Jesus was the temple. Another Gentile, like the Magi, who came to Israel, was the Queen of Sheba. She too brought gifts of gold and spices to the earthly King Solomon. She came from Yemen, we believe. In Yemen, both gold, frankincense, and myrrh can be found. In the Song of Solomon, the bride offers frankincense and myrrh to the bridegroom, who is described as being arrayed as a king in gold. The Song of Solomon has long been seen as an allegorical picture of the relationship between Christ the bridegroom and his church, the bride of Christ. The Magi, like the Queen of Sheba, were Gentiles, not Jews. They were the first Gentiles to come and worship Jesus. They left their land and journeyed far, following the leading of the star. We know nothing about the length of the journey, nor the hazards and difficulties which they encountered. We only know of their arrival in Jerusalem, where they called on Herod, the king, with an astonishing request to be directed to the one who was born King of the Jews. It's not surprising that Herod, whom historians tell us was exhibiting signs of madness, was troubled, and he sought professional religious advice from the chief priests and scribes, who told the Magi the promised king, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. So Herod sent them to find the baby and report back. I wonder what the Magi thought as they left Jerusalem. They'd shared their vision of the infant king with the Jerusalem elite, despite the religious scholars knowing all about the promised Messiah, despite the Messiah being the heart of the Jewish religion. Not one of them accompanied the Magi to Bethlehem. To me, this echoes the folly of relying on human wisdom to find God. Ultimately, human wisdom, human teaching will not get you to Bethlehem. It will not bring you to Jesus. What was needed for the final few miles was the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, leading once again by the way of the star, right to the place where Jesus lay. And this breath of the Spirit struck an answering chord in the Magi. They rejoiced exceedingly that God had led them all the way, their rejoicing itself pointing to the presence of God by his Holy Spirit. The visit of the Magi to Jerusalem should challenge us. What is our response to the coming of Jesus? Will we be like the priests and Herod and give wise advice to others, but be unwilling to go out on a limb ourselves to find the baby of Bethlehem? Will we rather, like the Magi, follow the whisper of the Spirit and be willing to search until we find him? Will we too be willing to honour him with our gold, those things that are most precious to us? Let us lay them at his feet. Will we be willing to lavish upon him the frankincense of our worship and the devotion of lives dedicated to him? Will we bring our myrrh, offering consecrated and holy lives to him, following the direction of the Holy Spirit? Let's think on these things as we sing together our next song, We Three Kings.
Frankincense to offer have I. incense on the deity night, prayer and praising all men, raising worship in God Most High. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect
As a point merely of clarification, I don't totally agree with that song just because it speaks about three wise men, which I'm not convinced there actually were. So I'll just clarify that point, if I may. Right, we're on to part three. You've stayed with me so far very well. This part's a little bit shorter as well, which is positive, I think. Julie and I recently enjoyed a visit to Lymington, on the edge of the New Forest. There we walked across a nature reserve towards the sea on a causeway across an area of salt marsh. Along the way we stopped to watch some coast guards being trained. One of them was trapped in thick glutinous mud up to his knees, unable to get out. Two rescuers sat on two plastic sledges, were on their way over the mud to get him free. As soon as they reached him, they sat the man on a sledge to stop him sinking further into the mud. They had a large pole which they thrust into the mud near his legs and rotated round and round to remove the mud. Eventually, the man was freed. The pressure of the mud dragging him down was immense, and even when freed, the mud continued to cling to him, resisting attempts to wash it off. That incident was partly why I read the call to worship from Psalm 40, where we heard that the author of the psalm cried out to God for rescue from the pit and from the miry clay. Probably doesn't need to be said, but both the mud and the clay are pictures of the effects of sin and darkness in our lives, pictures of how it can stain us and suck us down. Jeremiah tells us that the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Paul too speaks of his struggles with his wretched body of death. Our pilgrimage towards Christ is a long-term journey from darkness to light, with daily battles with sin and darkness, both within us and without us in the world in which we live. At Christmas, we remember with joy that Christ was born of Mary. A light shone in the darkness that could neither be overcome nor extinguished, despite every force of evil arrayed against it. The light of Christ shone ever brighter through the 33 years of Christ's earthly journey, as he grew up without sin and in constant obedience to God his Father. Lives were transformed. The blind saw, the deaf heard, the dead were raised to life. Storms were sealed, were stilled, and demons expelled. Death itself was defeated. It couldn't hold him. When he died on the cross, 3 days later, he rose to life again. And he is now seated and reigns forever in heaven above with God. As we set off into 2022, let us take time to gaze long and hard into the face of Christ. Let us invite him to shine his pure and holy light into the depths of our hearts. We must recognize that we are on a journey, and we need his help as we battle against sin and the corrosive effects of this world. We need to cultivate a tender conscience and listening ears to the voice and call of the Holy Spirit, who longs to deliver us from the mud and clay that sucks us down and holds us back from being transformed into the likeness of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I believe that God has great plans for his future, for his people in 2022. And that includes for you, every one of you, and for me. I know from God's word that he yearns that we, his people, would be transformed into the likeness of Christ. If we allow him to, God will change our hearts and our lives. He will enable us to walk forward boldly into 2022, washed clean from our sins and ready to serve and honour him. We're now going to pray. I'd like you to join in saying the prayer which we had at the beginning. It's here. Excellent. Let's join together in prayer. And if you feel it's a kind of bit of a prayer of commitment, I suppose, in a new year, don't feel you have to say it. But if you would like to say it, do join me in saying it. Almighty God, we thank you for being the light that came into the world at Christmas. Thank you too for coming into our lives. As we walk into 2022, we ask that you would lead each one of us by your Holy Spirit. We ask for grace to confront the darkness within our hearts. May we grow more like your precious Son, Jesus, the baby of Bethlehem. As your body here in Carn, may we be holy and pure. May we love you with all our hearts and bring our most expensive treasures to lay at our feet. As we start work on rebuilding this church to make it a place fit for worship and service, please rebuild each one of us into your likeness too. Finally, we pray that this year we will see changed lives and growth. We ask that many people will be drawn to the light of Christ, shining in and through us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.